Welcome to Vantage Tools. This week, the effective executive and the efficient assistant, part one. The questions this cast answers are, how do I work well with an executive assistant? What if I share my executive assistant? How can I work with a remote assistant?
I'm super excited to be letting our listening audience know today that we can now deliver our virtual effective manager and virtual effective hiring manager trainings in languages other than English. We've partnered with a firm who does live interpretation services of virtual calls, and we can now deliver to our client audience those trainings in any language they choose to receive them. If you are the leader of a group of individuals with a wide range of different languages being spoken in your day-to-day work lives, we can now deliver training to meet your needs. Please send us an email to Maggie. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com for more information.
It's interesting that one of the lost arts of like the corporate world is how to work with an administrative assistant, an executive assistant. It's due to several factors, which we're going to cover today, and the development of software has automated a lot of this.
Yes, absolutely.
It's shifted. It's changed a lot. Hybrid work, fully remote workforces, and the fact that a lot of managers who have assistants, administrative assistants, often massively underutilize them, results in what is truly a valuable position sometimes being cut.
Yeah.
So the landscape here has changed since we talked about it in the past.
Exactly. Folks, this week, we're beginning a series of casts on how to have a highly effective relationship with your administrative assistant. And this is previously released guidance. Actually, you know what I think is kind of funny about this one, Kate? We're recording a podcast about the effective executive and their effective assistant in the Manager Tools channel because this executive guidance was released on the Manager Tools feed before Executive Tools even existed.
So usually, if you were thinking about the three tiers of our guidance, this would be an executive level of content. And we're recording it here because while it is executive level content, we have given it to managers in the past. And so,
yeah. So we're
it may be
updating.
Preparatory for yeah, you. Yeah. Exactly. And we have updated it. We've updated it with changes in work and the environment in which we work. So we're going to do this for managers.
Nice. And it's for fun.
Look, yeah, it will be fun. This is a fun one. Also, because some managers, even if you don't consider yourself an executive, have this situation going on, we want to note a lot of us struggle to do this well, to the point that a lot of firms have recommended in many situations that the companies take away admins. We say, you know what? If people aren't utilizing it well,
yeah,
we shouldn't be paying for it because that salary, the budget for that salary is essentially wasted. It was that bad. It was really bad out there.
Right. I mean, if you're going to cut a position, you might as well cut a position that's not being used well or if at all. So in today's guidance, we're going to begin by talking about the principles of working with an administrative assistant, I suppose, administrative executive assistant, synonymous in this case. And believe it or not, although this might feel a little bit to people like it might be a basic topic, there's actually kind of a lot of ground to cover. Part of the reason for it is that this art of executive responsibility has been lost since it was initially created 20 years ago, essentially. And we want to make sure that in order to help you adapt over time, you have the basics required and the guidance required to know the intent behind the position itself. So we're going to start back at some basics in this one.
Yeah. This is a topic like so many other things in management where no one tells people who have an administrative assistant for the very first time what to do or how to do it.
They don't tell you how to do it, right? They're like, just figure it out, yo. You got this.
I've been talking about this a lot. We've been talking about this a lot. The fact that people come out of university, they come out of their training, they come out of their previous role with experience that doesn't really necessarily teach them how to be professionals, managers, whatnot. They are just watching what's happening with other people and then mimicking it. Like the way most people learned to run a meeting is I watched a bunch of meetings. I went to the meeting. And because I've been to a meeting, I have some semblance of knowledge of how it's supposed to be run.
Yeah.
And we've seen this even in new senior managers and directors with technical backgrounds. They get a new administrative assistant and they actually ignore them.
Yeah.
Do not utilize them whatsoever. There's a lot of other reasons, right? Why admins are so poorly utilized. Executive maybe just accepts whoever was in the position before and doesn't develop a relationship with the person, or the executive is, we've heard a lot of, so busy starting their new role that they never really get around to thinking about how to have an effective relationship with the admin, or the executive doesn't know what the rules are and then limits, like almost kind of opts out of a lot of the perks, I guess,
because
they don't want to overstep.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I might be overstepping here, so I'm just not going to use that person to the extent in which I'm allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And folks, regardless of why this occurs, the use of an admin when it exists for an executive is a simple managerial economics equation. And if you don't know what managerial economics are, you can learn about it in our Manager Tools podcast series, I think, called Managerial Economics 101, essentially. What that means is any task that can be done effectively by an admin making $50,000 a year, let's say, should be done by the admin rather than the $150,000 a year executive. And we know nobody likes to talk about this part of economics, about salary and value creation and leverage. And I mean, it's the really impersonal stuff about management. But believe us, even if you're not thinking about it, your company is thinking about it all the time. All the time. It may not sound nice to you, but it is reality, and this is not fantasy tools. So, no, your organization is thinking about that value equation. And frankly, if they weren't thinking about it, everyone's pay would be the same. But it's not.
Right. The company, the organization thinks about economics, and the economics of this reality is what created the role of secretary.
Yeah.
Years and years ago.
The original admin.
Early
OG admin.
Early equivalent of executives discovered that if they could have someone compensated at a lower rate than themselves, do all of those lesser value-added tasks that would otherwise fall upon the executive, they could concentrate on the value creation that their pay level suggested that they should be involved in and be doing. So classically for us, we have to ask now, okay, how should we be managing our admins?
And exactly.
This series of casts, we're going to talk about what each person's role is, what the four key areas of responsibility the admin should have are, and how to manage each of these four areas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We've got a big outline today in this cast. It's got a lot of parts, 9 parts in total. So we're going to begin by laying some groundwork. We're going to start by talking about the role of the executive and the role of the admin. Then we're going to discuss the single biggest roadblock, followed by sharing admins is no different, managing time zone differences, managing the executive schedule, managing the executive's office, managing the executive's relationships, and managing the executive's administrative deliverables. A lot of ground to cover.
Starting with the role of the executive, which might not be something that everyone's aware of, it's easy. The role of the executive never changes. If you believe in Peter Drucker, and we do here, we make no secret of it. The role of the executive is always simply to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Put differently, the executive job is to do the right things. And what we're getting at here as it relates to an executive and her admin is that you must start by knowing what it is you're supposed to do in order for you to have a great relationship with your admin. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That everything about his role is predicated on helping you, the executive, be effective. But if you don't start out by knowing what effectiveness is for your role, your admin can't fully reach their true potential.
Yeah. It's kind of like goal setting. I know it's a weird analogy here, Kate, but I feel like it's a little bit like goal setting. It's really hard to achieve a goal if you don't set goals. It's hard to achieve your mission if you don't have a mission. It's hard to work with an admin if you don't know the purpose of you or the admin or what you're meant to achieve.
Yeah.
And we talked a little about this in our casts on time management, but it's important to note that time or schedule management is not the same thing as being effective. Listen, you can only be effective if you know what you're supposed to be doing. Managing your schedule tightly and being on time to everything in the service of the wrong things is a complete and utter waste of time as well as company money. You're supposed to be smarter than that. You're supposed to be working towards the right goals, and that means you then in turn can develop or deliver upon those goals.
Okay. If you're a sales manager, sure, it's easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's a number, increase, right?
Yeah. You know what your purpose is. Increased sales profitability is surely where it starts. If you're managing a team of call center reps, call volume, call quality, some proxy of those two, that's where it's at. Maybe you're making widgets and it's widgets per hour, rejects, cost controls, et cetera. But there are plenty of jobs where it isn't as clear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a cast or 10 mm-hmm. on how to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Drucker tells us that as executives, and this applies to all managers too, just in case you're wondering if we're leaving you out, we don't get to ask, what do I want to do? Instead, we really must ask, what is it that the role requires from me?
Exactly.
That's the question to ask yourself. And we put this first because you need to start thinking about it now. You should have been thinking about it in the past. It's really hard for you to get what you need to get done. This focus today is on your admin. Bear in mind, you should be thinking about what your role requires of you as an executive, regardless of whether or not you have an admin.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for now, okay, here's one way to do it. Look at your role. Your three primary tasks are thinking, deciding, and communicating. The more you do of those in the service of your key objectives, the better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hopefully that's helpful for y'all if you're thinking about this question for the first time.
Exactly. So the executive's role is to be effective. Now, the role of the administrative assistant. The admin's role in the organization is to be efficient. Now, this is a little bit confusing. There's a lot of E words in here, folks. So listen carefully. If the executive is clear about their role and the admin knows it, then if the admin is efficient, the admin is effective. Got that, right? An efficient admin is by definition an effective admin, but an efficient executive is not necessarily effective. Subtle difference, but very important difference. Because again, going back to goals and goal setting and knowing what your goal is, we have different things to achieve.
It's a bit like the argument we get a lot from people about handwritten versus typed notes.
Yeah.
Typing your notes, the classic argument is it's more efficient. And that's true. And if you know me, you know I love efficiency. I do love it. And if I had to pick, I would never choose efficiency over effectiveness at work.
Right. Unless your goal is efficiency, in which case you are effective. Oh my gosh, that's so confusing.
And in this case.
Yeah, in this case, exactly. Your goal is a relationship.
That is not my role. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So an efficient assistant helps make the executive effective by allowing her to focus on the tasks that create the most value in service of her key objectives. There's a lot of tasks that come with being employed or being a leader or being on committees or guidance providance, many of which do not serve the key deliverables. Whenever possible, those tasks should be handled by the admin.
Exactly. So that takes us to the single biggest roadblock. The single biggest roadblock to an admin helping an executive be highly effective is the executive failing to delegate all tasks that do not serve her goal of effectiveness. When executives tell us how busy they are, about half of the time, we find them doing all sorts of things that their admin should be doing. Okay, so example. One senior vice president we know still did his own timesheets and expense reports. Now, he said it was something he liked doing, and he felt like it connected him to his folks. Now, sorry, folks, let me be perfectly clear. If you're an executive, you don't get paid to do what you like to do. And there are plenty of other ways, manager tools one-on-ones, MTO3s, anyone, that keep you connected to your folks. You get paid to deliver results against a plan. And that never includes timesheets, and it never includes expense reports for executives.
Agreed. The basic here, the first behavioral thing that we can really say clearly is, if in doubt about whether to have your admin do something, delegate it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go perfectly, take it back. The default, though, should be delegate.
Yes. If they can do it, they should do it.
The idea that somebody at the executive level would be doing timesheets or expense reports, it's a bit frustrating to me. I know it's not frustrating to everyone. If only because the other way to say this, the less nice way, is you get paid too much to do that.
Yeah, exactly. The organization is not paying you to do something of such little value, friend. They are not.
Hey, y'all. There's only two events left to come see us in person between now and the end of the year, and one of them is in Tampa. We're coming to Florida, December 12th and 13th for Effective Manager and Effective Communicator. So if you're stuck in bad weather and you'd like to get out, you can always come and see us in Tampa, learn more about effective management and effective communication, December 12th and 13th in Tampa, Florida. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, so to go back to our cast, a lot of the reason we are re-recording this now is because a lot of things have changed in the world of executives and admins over the course of the years since we recorded this guidance previously. One of those things is the fact that there's a lot more of a shared assistant among multi-executives. It's common in more organizations, in part going back to what you said earlier, Kate, in large part, admins being underutilized caused fewer admins to exist, meaning several executives have to share a single admin, all of these kinds of things. So we're going to talk now about shared admins and the fact that they are and should be treated as such, no different. As underutilized as shared admins are no different. And we know an executive who shares his admin with two other executives and tells us that the one thing she does for him is enter his travel details, flights and hotels, into his calendar. And minimal as that is, get this, not a single one of his peers, the executives with whom he shares his admin, have the admin doing that simple task for them. He is literally the only person who's having those details put into his calendar by his admin. No one else that has that admin is having her do that. So what on earth are they having her do?
That breaks my heart. For one thing, that's got to be really tough on that admin that they're underutilized in that way. It's almost, I would feel if I was in that position, do they not believe that I'm capable?
Right. Like I
that's
can do
That's a very
stuff.
Small thing. Yeah, I'm really
actually kind of good at stuff. So
yeah, I'm here because I'm actually a organizational wizard. Right?
Exactly.
And then I also wonder, what set of things is that executive doing that they don't need to be doing? And what baffles me about it is that we hear so often how busy people are. And I get that there's a scale. Like some people, they say they're busy and they truly are. And some people say they're busy and they're really not. So while I understand that there's a scale and everyone's scale is a bit different, if you're an executive and you talk about how busy you are and you're not offloading some of these things, mm-hmm. I worry that you're busy in ways that are detrimental to you.
You know what though, Kate? I think the reason for this shared admin dichotomy in my experience mm-hmm. exists is because of sensitivity toward the admin, right? I am one of three executives who shares this admin. And therefore, I am worried that if I give this admin too much stuff to do for me, I am monopolizing their time. They're already incredibly busy. These other people might have her doing 10,000 things each. No, that's okay. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think that's where it comes from. Almost all my experience with managers and executives suggests that we do the things we do because we're trying to be kind.
I completely agree with you.
Right?
That's so true.
Being sensitive to our peers and our admin and all these kinds of things that are unnecessary.
If this person knows that the other executives aren't asking of the admin these small things, I would suggest that they also have a pipeline to understanding the important part, which is how much of her time or his time is dedicated to each executive. Is there time left over? Because there's a very simple solution here, right? Talk to the admin, have a strong relationship with them.
Yep.
Use that relationship to understand if you're exceeding or not your bandwidth with them. And then utilize the bandwidth that you have. Really, it's such a simple solution. And the fact that they have that extra bit of knowledge to me says, hey, if you know that, you know where that person's bandwidth is at. And I don't disagree with you at all that they're probably doing it out of kindness and thoughtfulness. And we want to suggest another approach, which is have a good relationship and communicate more. The only thing you need to know here is that relationships are incredibly important between an executive and her admin. It's even more crucial when there are other executives sharing the admin. Of course, if you can believe it, shocking, you as an executive really must work to be seen as the standout of the person amongst whom your admin supports. This means sending a card on their birthday, remembering the spouse and children's names, asking about their spouse, their partner, their children. It means sending a gift on Administrative Professionals Day, periodically sending a handwritten note for no particular reason, buying them a gift or something like that. And most importantly, it means weekly MTO3s. After all, how would you know about the birthday? And
yeah, how are you going to send them a card? You don't know anything.
How would you get those details? Because that level of communication, not only does it set you apart, it also creates a situation where you understand how much are the other people using this person? Are they underutilized? Are they overutilized? This may seem small. We assure you, your peers are not doing this, especially with their shared admin, and the admin will likely appreciate it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't appreciate consideration demonstrated? Not just in thought of, I don't want to overwhelm this person, which is, to your point, the idea of like, well, I'm just going to have this person do this much because mm-hmm. I don't want to impact the bandwidth. However, that's a thought process. It's not always necessarily going to be externally visible to the admin, whereas right. an MTO3 demonstrates that care and thoughtfulness and focus on them.
Yeah. To be clear, what we're essentially suggesting is you become the favorite among your peers, so the admin assistant does more work for you and is not bothered by the fact that you're asking for far more than anybody else that they support because you are their primary objective. That's what we're trying to create. We're trying to create a world where you are the favorite among peers. So the admin essentially informally becomes your admin.
We're nice, but we also want to make sure that you get everything done that you need to get done.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We're going to help you get there.
That's the thing. These small niceties create a world where a shared admin is happy to prioritize your needs over everyone else that they support. And while you're going to be asking for more support, and then your peers will be in this case, your admin will be happy to oblige if you're investing in the relationship in such a way that you've made it clear that you are far more deserving of their attention and help than anyone else on the team. If you treat your admin in a transactional way, you will receive transactional support. Your peers will probably treat the admin in a transactional way, and therefore, you get your stuff done. And that's what matters.
That's what matters to us. And we're going to go a step further because it really does matter to us. Because so many senior managers and executives have A, no experience using an admin, and B, don't know how a shared admin situation would work.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you have a unique opportunity to claim more than your share,
yeah,
if we were being equitable, of your admin's time.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying be jerks. We're really not saying that. We're not saying be a bully or be disrespectful of your peers. We're saying the contrary. We want you to maintain cordial relationships with your peers, but do not try in any way to balance the workload of your admin by negotiating with them about their time and the time that's being taken by other peers on the team, unless it is very clear that the combination of everyone's requests for supporting outstrip the hours or skills of the admin.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want you to negotiate and work through these things with your admin. We just want you to build a good relationship and assign all that you can as if they were your own, because your peers won't hardly use any bandwidth of theirs at all. None, to be frank, in our experience. So we want to essentially engage in a way that kind of claims the admin as our own.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Imagine your two peers not using the admin at all, and believe it or not, they will consider it a badge of honor, naively. People love to do it themselves.
Yeah, I do my own expense reports. I'm great.
Yay. Good for you. I don't do mine and I'm happier.
I know, right? And I'm happier and I have more time to do the important things.
Yeah. Imagine your two peers, they're not using the admin at all, and you're then stopping at one third of their availability.
Right.
As we kind of alluded to earlier, it's incredibly wasteful of her potential.
Exactly.
And perhaps her desire to succeed. You'll also likely lose an admin who knows that their role will sooner or later be on the chopping block, like anyone else's role would be if they only worked a third of the time. You're actually putting them at risk.
You are. You absolutely are. They also have career aspirations, folks. I mean, they want to move on. And it's actually worse than that. Even if you only use one third of the shared admin's availability, or as best you could possibly estimate it, work expands to fill the time we allot it. It's Parkinson's law, right? How many times have we talked about this? If a shared admin only has one exec's tasks to do, unless you have an exceptional admin, that one third of the work will gradually leak up to taking an entire day of their time.
Yeah. What's interesting is we have Horstmann's corollary to Parkinson's law, which is that work can also contract to fit the time we allot it. And that's the approach we should take with a shared admin.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Utilize that time. And if you're thinking through this, you're probably beginning to think that the quality and performance of your admin will make a big difference in your effectiveness. And oh my goodness gracious, are you correct? What that means is that if you have the chance, you must insist on being involved in who gets the role.
Yes, that is exactly it. Absolutely. If you hear rumors that you're going to soon be getting an admin, go wherever you need. Go to HR, go to talent management, go to wherever that location is, your boss, and find out whether you can have a say in the individual chosen to fill that support role. If there's even a sliver of a chance that you'll have a choice or some input whatsoever, offer to interview candidates. It's going to take more time. And I mean, we talk so much about hiring and interviewing. It is a worthy investment in your time to be part of the group of individuals who get to interview who will be your future admin, I should say.
Absolutely. And good news, your peers will be delighted to let you do this.
Oh, of course they will.
Yeah, one less thing for them to do.
Exactly.
They need more time to do their timesheets and their flight details. So it's great that you're going to take this on because it's one less thing for them to do. They get some time to do those other things that they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now you will get to interview based on what you need from an admin, which will be considerably more than your uneducated peers, no offense, will be considering. So why not then choose the admin most aligned to the behaviors and standards that you expect?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the one doing the hiring, your peers can't be expecting that they're going to veto your choice.
Yeah.
Although, to some extent, they might be expecting that, which is adorable. And
right.
That's silliness.
It's cute.
So it is. It's very cute of them. They did not get the memo that their purpose is effectiveness. They are focusing on efficiency. And
yeah, they're super efficient.
They've chosen to remain in those trenches rather than the trenches that we're in. And that's fine for them. That's great for them.
Exactly. And folks, to be clear, if you're really smart, you'll use our interview creation tool to create your interview and add to it the custom questions that Manager Tools uses when we interview other executive assistants. And we will share the interview creation tool output, and we will have for you the executive assistant interview questions that might be asked by us. All you have to do, if you're interested in that set of questions, is send us an email, customerservice@manager-tools.com. And we will email you the set of interview questions we would use if we were there to interview your admin.
Yeah. And okay, you might be thinking, gosh, this is a lot of work, especially up front. And it is. Y'all, the payoff is enormous. It's worth it. Mark interviewed his last admin for over 50 hours before hiring her. And while that may seem excessive, she probably spent more time sometimes and over periods of time. She probably spent more time talking to his children than he did. She had full access to all of his personal finances and really honestly could intuit what he wanted within weeks worth of starting, which is priceless. You're being presented with the answers of what you want rather than here's a bunch of options. Just the outcome of that, the time savings, the analysis.
Oh, absolutely.
So much time to do other things.
Yeah, exactly. And one more thing about shared admins. You have to know what you want from an admin and start quickly with as many daily tasks as is humanly possible. That way, if there's a pinch in relative workloads, you'll be starting with more of your assistant's time than others might be. We're not trying to get you to be greedy on this one, and we recommend you happily settle for 33% of your admin's time if it comes to that. That's assuming you're sharing it with two other executives. But imagine that you're only using 25%, and so are your peers. And in a presentation you're giving to your boss, which proves to be substandard, your slides are bad, they're spelling errors, whatever it may be, and your boss says to you, don't you have an admin? This isn't high quality stuff. Now what? Now, what do you say? Oh, I was being sensitive to their time. And so I did my own slides.
And you should maybe do those slides. You should have time to do them correctly.
Right.
Maybe your admin, or your admin could have proofed them. There's,
right, proof I mean, them.
There's, spell there's options
there's,
here.
There's so many things.
Right. There's so much more to say about sharing. And for now, here's the best move of all. Have him or her report to you. Your peers will probably be fine with that. Again, naively.
Right.
Having a direct reporting relationship, though, increases the chances that you'll give more feedback, which will help their development, and specifically in the direction which you're hoping to improve their development. And they'll be much more likely to be sensitive to your requests other than your peers, is what I was going to say, both of which I suppose work. Okay, you said one more thing, and now I'm going to say one more
thing. I know, right? How many one more things can we possibly have? We can have another.
If you're thinking, this sounds kind of political, well, okay, yes, it is. Again, we're not saying to take what you can get. Be respectful. If your two peers really can get 33% of the value from this shared asset, respect that. Be amenable to drawing back your requests. Be fair to the limited resource. And don't give gifts or be personable just to get what you want. We're recommending this because we believe it's the right thing to do. And we believe that if you're going to get more of their time, you should honor that with more attention, more dedication, more demonstration of your care. If you do find yourself only getting 33% or 50% of an admin's time, that really is okay. What's important is making sure that the work your admin is doing for you is absolutely necessary. Do not assume, despite the clear logic of it, that all the very lowest level tasks will go to him or her. No, absolutely not. These lowest level tasks probably ought not to be done at all. You should check in on what is getting done.
Check in on the floor and see if...
Yeah, on what should be delegated to the floor. Because if it's really truly the lowest priority items, you could be wasting a resource. And that is not something we would ever suggest that you do. Every executive and admin relationship is different. And as a general rule, three things that your admin, just to kind of clarify around that point, would definitely handle if you only have a portion of your time is your calendar, your travel, which is kind of close to your calendar, and your email. And this could be unmodified if they are a presentation whiz or a paralegal, et cetera. In today's world, though, those type of admins, presentation whiz, paralegal type, are less likely. If you're looking for what to give your admin, calendar, travel, and email is probably the best place to start. And it's time to start considering bandwidth. How much of their bandwidth do you get? How much of it is the rest of the team, the rest of the executives assigned to this admin using? What's there? Let's not underutilize someone. It's actually truly painful to be underutilized at work. It can be really stressful. That's all for this week, folks. We'll be back next week with a continuation of this topic.